Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 804 on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 7370-3776 to hang out with us here. So
I told you.
Why are you pissed off about
well,
Giannis?
What's the deal with why would Giannis like the Spurs? I really want Giannis. I'm not going to even back down from it anymore. I've decided this is what we need, and this is what I want. And we'll see if it happens. It may not happen. I don't want the Spurs getting Giannis. You now have Cooper Flagg in the West. You are going to have potentially Giannis in the West. Because two of the teams who are going to be most interested would presumably be the Spurs and the Rockets. I mean, the East is a joke. The East is, you've got the Knicks, that's fine. And the Pacers have played well. And you've got the Celtics. But
the Cavs have been good. The Celtics were champs.
What good are the Celtics going to be next year with no Jason?
Yeah.
We'll find out. But my gosh, the West is just, and you throw Giannis, the best player in the East over in the West, Cooper Flagg, who is, you know, and then next year there's another Cooper Flagg
coming
up.
Cooper Flagg is a generational talent.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
About that.
Generational.
He looks like a guy like Kevin Garnett did some of that, but Garnett was a little more explosive shot blocker. Like, actually, KG played a little bit like, and that's before Biggs really stepped out, and Kevin Garnett could step out. That's what made him a little bit unusual. Flagg's really good, but why? Why does everyone think that, like, why does Giannis need to go to the Spurs? That's a trash-ass city. He doesn't need to go to the Spurs.
You just called it a
trash-ass
city.
So many mosquitoes.
I don't like that dirty-ass trash-ass city.
I know. So many mosquitoes there. The Riverwalk's overrated.
I mean, there's really nothing.
It was 104 yesterday there.
Yeah, but you're the only thing in that city.
Exactly.
There's something
that
to be said
sucks.
For that. No, it's really, really, you're the spotlight.
As a basketball player, but I'm not, if you're trying to convince me to live there, nice try.
No, but in Green Bay, the Packers are the only thing. You can be an ultra a-hole.
But players
which
don't
a
like
lot
living
of them
there.
Were.
Players don't like living.
No.
Every guy who's ever played in Green Bay that I work with at NFL Network, man, it is exactly what you think it would be. I said, who is it? James Jones, I remember. I said, James,
I think I lived there for 3 years.
I said, what did y'all do? He goes, we went to Milwaukee. He's like, go stay at Milwaukee. He goes, there's nothing to do.
He
goes,
there's nothing in Milwaukee either.
He said, he goes, and Lance, as a black man, nothing to do in Green Bay. As a white man, very limited to do in Green Bay. He goes, there's just not much going on.
No, you got to eat sardine can, and that's about it.
What does that mean?
It's a one bar. The one bar everybody goes to.
Really?
Yeah. It's really, really bad. It's awful. I couldn't wait to get out of there. It was the longest 3 years of anyone's life.
I've heard, actually, Milwaukee's really cool now. It's really, there's a great food scene, bar scene. Really, it's been a while since you've been there.
That would be one of the last places I would have. It's still freaking really cold.
In Green Bay?
Yeah. Milwaukee. Yeah.
It's
further south, but it is still really cold. Well, and so no, don't go there.
Sorry, Giannis.
If you get transferred there, quit your job.
It's hot in San Antonio, Giannis. You don't want to be there. Here in Houston, we have indoor basketball. We have an indoor stadium, Giannis. You can play basketball indoor where it's nice and cool.
It's not hot like San Antonio here.
You know, he travels to San Antonio once a year, right, for a game. He's aware of whether they have an outdoor arena or not.
Yeah,
they probably don't have one.
But
no,
we don't know if the taxes are going to keep
the Rockets go
there
twice a year. We know they have
are
an
the
indoor arena.
Are the taxes going to keep paying for it there? You never know.
So at some
especially if Ownwell beats them in property taxes, where's the money going to
come
from?
Well, do you remember a time where the Spurs were playing out in an outdoor venue at any point in their history?
Not to my knowledge, but the ABA
multiple
no one really
arenas
had video.
You don't know?
So.
Okay. So since they've been in the
NBA, could have been played outdoors.
When the peach baskets
since
were up.
Since they've been in the NBA, have they played in an outdoor?
In San Antonio?
When Naismith invented the game in San and the
Riverwalk? Rims that are so unforgiving?
I just feel like you're not going to trick them into thinking that they play outdoors.
I can try. Plus, it's not his choice.
Yes, it is.
Like, I mean, he doesn't have a no trade.
When does that really ever matter unless your name is Damian Lillard?
First of all, he would want to come to Houston. I don't know if Houston would want him, but they should.
Do we know? Do we know what he wants? We don't know what Giannis wants, do we?
We could speculate about another man's mind.
No, I think we do know.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
I think we do know that he wants to.
We do that a lot anyway.
Yeah.
I think we do know he wants to, like, he's even said he'll start thinking about his future. Like, the run is done over there. And for sure it's done now with, you know, with
well, he did say he's finally open to being traded.
Ruptured Achilles and Dame. That never worked out. Bringing Dame in. Now he's got a ruptured Achilles. He knows his run is done. And Milwaukee's going to have to say, do we keep our Hakeem Olajuwon, which it worked out with Houston, because Houston had a little run, and then their run was short-circuited years and years ago when Dream was young, and they stuck with him and eventually won a championship, but not until he was in his 30s. Giannis... Milwaukee's in the same kind of situation. Do they stick it out because he's a special player, or do they move on and try to build something new? If they called the Rockets, you cannot move Giannis without Alperen Şengün being part of the deal, for sure. And I'm doing it if I'm the Rockets. Now, I don't know what the entire deal is. If they say, we just want Amen Thompson and Alperen Şengün, now that doesn't work financially, so you have to throw someone else in there. But would you do that for Alperen and Amen? Man, Amen would hurt my heart.
Amen's got to prove that he can shoot the ball. He's got to.
Yeah, but what about the other stuff he does?
The other stuff is great. The other stuff.
Because you know what's weird? I'm watching basketball and I'm finding out.
Do you think Giannis can do any of that?
You know what's crazy is other players get to shoot mid-range shots. What are these mid-range shots that I hear so much about that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Hey, wait a minute. That shot was from 15 feet. What is that shot?
The Rockets do a lot of that.
The Rockets do a lot of that. But. The NBA still has the 3-and-D model. The Rockets, for years under Morey and then beyond Morey, were built on that. The Rockets are not; they're like 21st in 3-pointers shot now, so they have gotten away from it. But why can't Amen Thompson just become really good at the mid range? Why does he have to be a good 3-point? DeMar DeRozan never became a good 3-point shooter. Amen just be a really good mid range shooter?
When DeMar was in his prime, no. As he's gotten older, and it's an easier shot for him to take, he has improved, but. There's no reason he can't. It's just how everyone thinks the game should go. You should be able to shoot threes and get to the paint. And if you shoot a mid-range, if you're a mid-range shooter, you need to be elite at it. We don't want you to be an average mid-range shooter because we'd rather have you be an average three-point shooter. Because math. But you know, even Daryl Morey acknowledged, hey, Chris Paul's a great mid-range shooter. So he can shoot mid-range.
It opens up a lot more stuff if they don't have to guard you at the three-point line. I mean, that's a big advantage defensively.
No, because they can sag. Obviously, it's not great. I mean, you know, but unless your spacing is really good, and if your spacing's good, you get away, you know. It's not like Julius Erving. Julius Erving couldn't, even though he made the first ever three-pointer, which I didn't know that until I saw some video on Twitter. It was a sports history site that was for you. And top of the key, Julius Erving shot a three, made a three, and it was the first three-pointer ever made in the playoffs, either the finals or the playoffs in basketball history. And Julius was not a good shooter from the perimeter, but it never mattered because there wasn't even a consideration.
He was Jalen Green before Jalen Green.
Yeah, but smoother. Way smoother.
A lot better.
Yeah.
a lot better. Julius Erving was...
He showed up at all times.
Julius Erving, I mean, it was a joke, Lance. You know what else I learned? Did you guys know this? Do you know how you say when you got the best hand in poker, it's called the nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's called the nuts?
Oh, wait, today's not Monday. For me, it was Monday. I'm like, hey, save it for... What did you learn? Oh, it's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. It's your Monday.
It's my Monday. The nuts. So I used to hear that when I was in... I'd heard... They always talked about the nuts and send the cheese when I used to go to Buffalo Jimmy's in New Orleans. And I didn't know what the nuts was.
Yeah, the nuts, a lot of people don't know. The nuts are, back in the day, you would bet, if you had the best hand, you would bet the nuts off of your wagon wheel. That's how good your hand was.
Oh, that's where it came from.
That's where it came from.
Wow.
Off your wagon wheel. So that's how old it is.
Like, it's unstoppable.
Yeah. I'm so sure, I'll bet the nuts off my wagon wheel.
Yeah, which would shut down your
ability. And then they just started calling, I got the nuts.
Yeah, that's good. Man, yeah. I was going to say, I mean, that was when I was in college, I was hearing the nuts at a sports bar.
It goes back to the 1800s.
That's what I was saying. It's really old.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it goes back to when they were coming after.
Right, even before you were in college.
When they were coming after those, who was those, Tim McGraw and whoever that other country lady is when they were in 18.
Oh, yeah, Faith Hill?
Or 18. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were good.
That's his
Both
wife.
Of them were really good.
Yeah.
In one of the prequels to Yellowstone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 1883.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That was my favorite one. I liked that better than 1929.
I don't think it was 1929. But
no, 1929 is the one
It's not 1929. That's the Depression. 1923 or something like
that. Oh,
okay. Yeah, yeah. Or whatever it was. Yeah, it was better than Harrison. Harrison Ford.
Yeah, 1923, yeah.
Yeah. Harrison Ford is a little slower now. A little slower now.
Well, yeah, his character is older.
Well, right.
He's not Han Solo out there in the.
No, I know, but it was better to look at Faith Hill.
Well, okay, I should have known. Oh, you mean Helen Mirren wasn't as hot as Faith Hill? Is that what you're judging us
back
on?
In the day now?
Oh, no.
Helen had a fastball.
Well, not only that, she liked to do things.
Yeah, no, she didn't mind. She didn't mind. She wasn't all about
Helen
clothes.
Helen Mirren's like, what do y'all want to see?
Yeah. She wasn't all about
She's
clothes.
She's trying to get beads back in the day.
I don't know.
I'll hand you the beads.
Now she's just a BI in Mobland.
She was a good shot in 1923. In Mobland, she is just a bitch.
Whoa, wow.
I said bitch.
That's just ugly.
She is terrible on Mobland.
When we come back.
She's causing a war.
Yeah, she is. No. She does. That's what
she's
does.
Sitting there causing a war and then laying back. We're the ones getting blown up over this stuff.
Well,
it's got me all pissed off.
How about this? How about we talk about that you're running out of time? Ownwell is going to protest your property taxes. If you haven't done this, you've got until tomorrow. This is it. Tomorrow. You can't wait any longer. All right? I've been telling you, what if you fall into a giant pit and you can't get out? Now, all of a sudden, you won't be able to protest your property taxes because you didn't pick up the phone. And you just go to the website. It takes 3 minutes to sign up. And you got to protest your property taxes. Otherwise, you are really, really, really going to get screwed. If you let this thing go for 2-3 years in a row and don't do anything about it, you are paying so much more because the government's going to go to the max every single time. 86% of the time, they're wrong. 86% of the time. Why would you not do something about this? You need to do it. Ownwell.com. Takes 3 minutes to start the process of protesting your property taxes. Ownwell.com. Ownwell.com. You got until tomorrow.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Fuck it. Wow. Wow. Del, why are you coming back when no one knows? How about a little coming back?
You don't ever do that.
He was telling me a story about this guy named Spider, and I was like, yeah. Bleeping Spider.
He's in a sports palace, and Spider would get, if he didn't like his cards,
he'd rip them all
up. They'd gamble in the back in Omaha, and if he thought that he had a good hand and he didn't win, he would just rip his hand.
And then, yeah, everybody
his
would be,
yeah,
Spider.
So they had to.
Bleeping Spider.
Okay, they did here. So, So he'd have to scrape scrape the cards off, and this guy would have to bring multiple decks. He also drank Spider Balls, which was coffee with vodka in it, to start his day off, and he also won an award called Most Disgusting Man in America, where he got to appear in an adult movie.
Mm.
And I don't even want to tell you how he won that submission. It was terrible.
Most Disgusting Man in America.
Most Disgusting Man in
America. I do not
want
to see
Spider.
Him in a movie.
And he was just like an extra or something. And
even still.
And his submission was pretty horrific.
No, I don't want. You've told me about this. I don't want to hear it. What do you think of this Pete Rose now eligible for the Hall of Fame?
I'm all right with it. My wife asked me this. I said, well, I mean, he's dead.
Yeah.
He was punished. Now baseball's punished at this point. Pete was punished. Okay, you gamble on baseball. I get it. But once he dies, and I think Manfred did the right thing. Once you're dead, you know, in the history, this is the all-time hits leader. Now you're punishing the history of baseball.
Yeah.
Shoeless Joe Jackson, I would argue now it's not going to be, I mean, actually it is a good argument. The White Sox, the Black Sox scandal is baseball history.
Yeah.
It actually belongs in and of itself in the Hall of Fame.
Pete Rose is more famous now because he's been banned for the Hall of Fame. He's more famous now. So is Shoeless Joe Jackson. Because
Shoeless
been,
Joe for sure.
Shoeless Pete Joe. Was Pete a, wrote Pete too. But Pete was the a whole hit. Scandal. I mean,
right. But he,
we
you
wouldn't be talking about Pete.
Him. Pete Rose was a hit leader. Yeah, that's true. But he was a hit leader. Like he was the Henry Aaron of hits.
Yeah.
He was a hit leader that no one can ever catch. No one's ever.
Oh, no,
catch
no, no one's ever catching 42-56 ever.
I mean,
ever.
He's Nolan ever. Ryan strikeouts. Like yeah. It's you're never, yeah. ever, ever yeah. catching this.
Yeah, 57-14. I mean, those are numbers that are.
You know, 57-14 is the strikeout total. Yeah. And what's Pete's?
Pete's 42-56.
Wow, I can't believe you know those.
Yeah. They're sacred numbers in baseball. They're sacred numbers, and Pete is more famous now. Listen though, if you know that at some point you're going to be able to, well, you'll be dead, so I guess it won't matter to you, but. That there is now an out clause in all of this. Pete knew what he was doing. Pete knew every locker room knew said had it posted. You can't gamble. Pete did it anyway. He had an addiction. He had a problem, and it cost him his whole life. He tried. How many times I interviewed Pete? I don't know how many times, and it was always
he lost baseball.
Always about
his whole life was baseball.
And
he lost baseball,
and he lost yeah. And he was banned from baseball and, you know, the story and everything else. But his goal in life was to get into the Hall of Fame. And in his lifetime, he couldn't do it.
Here's
the deal is these writers might not vote him in anyway. Yeah. They still might not vote him in.
Yeah, you're right.
And which is ridiculous.
Well, depends on how old they are.
He's one of the great. He is the greatest hitter of all time.
Younger writers will vote him in. Older voters will stay true to it. I don't know how many older voters there are left anymore.
Well, it's Shoeless Joe. I mean, there are a lot of different stories about those that Black Sox team, Comiskey and how cheap he was, what an a-hole he was, and whether or not Shoeless Joe actually. You look at his numbers during the World Series; he still hit. I mean, so there's a question whether or not Shoeless Joe should even be.
There was no question about the scandal about point shaving.
No,
but there was a question.
About well, Shoeless
it's been
Joe.
Raised about whether or not Shoeless Joe was Jose Altuve,
right?
In essence,
yep.
I mean, now that I think about it, I mean, Altuve was there was cheating that went on with the Astros, and Altuve, kind of we think was wrongly accused.
Yep. And we'll see whether or not Altuve gets.
Now you have to be
it.
A member of the Baseball Writers Association for 10 years, so to get a vote. So, you know, it's not like you can just be in for 3 or 4 years. You've got to have done it for a little bit. But, you know, some of the crustiest, crankiest baseball voters, frankly, have died off. So, I don't know. I think Pete will get in. I do think Pete will get in. I think people are going to look at this kind of like I do, where I was fine with Pete not being in. But now that he's dead, it does kind of make some sense. Like, he was punished. Like, for the rest of his life, he was punished.
It was now, a lifetime. It was a truly
was lifetime, a
lifetime ban. But his life is over now.
Yeah, and I think Manfred's doing the right thing. Like baseball history, you can't tell baseball history without telling Pete Rose.
No, you can't. No, you can't. He should be in. He absolutely should be in. Whether or not they vote him in is another story.
And you look at the
because these holier than thou baseball writers have historically been.
And I'm not saying they have to be the same because these Hall of Fames don't have to be the same. But you look at some of the guys in. The Basketball and Football Hall of Fame who are in there, they've got some black marks in their background, and they get in. And so,
well, character's not supposed to play an issue in it.
Yeah, but and I understand this is really more about integrity of the game, and it is like, look, you have made a with betting and basketball. We've seen already Jontay Porter. Like there have been issues in football, especially in basketball, I haven't not heard about like a DraftKings type of situation or a BetMGM or whatever. I haven't heard about a daily fantasy issue in baseball where there's been a – have you guys – where there's been a report that there was investigation into a player's performance? I think it's easier in baseball. If you wanted to throw something, it's easier in baseball. You would never know.
Yeah.
Honestly. In basketball, if you usually – do something and you're way, way far off. Like you can see, man, this doesn't look right. And betting patterns change.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm in this MLB play thing where you got to get a hit every day. You pick a player and he gets a hit. Shohei Ohtani is definitely throwing games.
Is he?
He was 0 for 4 yesterday.
There we go.
And he killed me. He killed my streak. And I'm accusing him right now, not only of gambling. Shohei Ohtani maybe should have a lifetime ban. But going 0 for 4 last night, I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Against the Athletics? By the way, don't look now, but the A's are a pretty good team. The A's have some pitching, and the A's are a problem. This whole division, there are four teams that could win this division. There are four teams that absolutely
could. You really think the A's can win?
Do I really think the A's can win? Yes. Yes. They're probably going to peter out because every game is a road game for them.
Yep.
But they're 14-7 on the road this year.
I know.
They're 14-7 on the road this year.
We'll see if they can stick to it. We'll see if they can stick to it. But it is wide open. It's not a good division again. And we'll see. I mean, if you finish 10 games over 500, you're winning the division. I almost think for sure.
Yeah.
It's not going to take
87 wins. It's going to take more than 87.
How many did the Astros have last year?
Did they hit 90,
91? No, they're below that.
But there are four teams.
They had 88 wins last year.
88 wins
and won the division. 88-74, 87-75. I think 87-75 could win the division. Yeah, absolutely.
87.
Probably not a lot below that, but maybe. Maybe.
So, you know, well, you said 10, so it's
even fewer.
Yeah.
Be 86-76.
Yeah. I don't know that. I don't think that's going to be the case. Somebody's going to go on a little run. Seattle's already 5 games over 500. The Astros have been crap, and they're a game over 500. So are the Rangers, and the Athletics are 2 games over 500. Nah, they're going to be better than that. It'll be in the neighborhood of 90, 89, 90, in that neighborhood. don't look now. How about this?
84, and actually, the fewest wins to win a division in MLB history was 84 by the 2024 Marlins. 84. The Brewers had 83. So that was just last year. 84 wins, but that's the fewest in MLB history. So it's not much. It's not much, but it did just happen last year.
How about we had 3 walk-offs last night?
And within 4 minutes.
Within 4 minutes, and they all involve Cubs or former Cubs. Javi Baez homered. Isak Paredes homered. Mm-hmm. And Justin Turner had the game-winning double. 3 walk-offs within 4 minutes, and they were all Cubs or former Cubs.
How about the news that the Dodgers are looking at Kyle Tucker? I hate the Dodgers so much.
No. If he does, I'm done with Kyle Tucker. He's out of my life. I already said that yesterday.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker's out of my life. No.
He strikes me as a guy who would totally do that.
Joe George was almost out of my life because if he takes a $200,000 job somewhere.
What do you mean? What happened?
Well, no. If he does,
you just
and
almost
goes to
kicked Joe
station,
George out of your life?
Well, I'll kick Joe George right out. Okay.
Wow, that's got to be rough for Joe.
But Joe
George
was like, "Yeah, I don't really care. Yeah, I don't care."
Yeah, I don't think Kyle Tucker cares, if I'm being honest.
No, well, that's what we
now. Kyle Tucker will have to get paid 30 years down the road because that's how the Dodgers pay people.
Yeah.
Every year you get a paycheck for the next 40 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So when you're dying, you still have your Matt Maloney / Bobby Bonilla money coming in.
Right. All right, 713.
Who would take a deal? Like, Kyle Tucker would never take that deal, the Shohei. Kyle Tucker wouldn't even listen to an early contract offer by the Astros.
No, but if he gets max dollars like Shohei, But if it's deferred, so
he
what?
Likes money now.
Well,
it depends on how much is deferred.
Actually, no. He didn't take money now from the Astros. He waited and waited
That's what I'm saying.
He'll wait for his money, too.
He's not
going to
wait 20 years.
Well, not 20, but Shohei starts in 10.
Okay. How much does Shohei make per year?
Shohei starts getting 68 in 10
years. Shohei has a rare opportunity to make money with advertising. Kyle Tucker does not. Kyle Tucker's just kind of, Kyle's kind of sleepy.
How about sweaters you tie around your neck? I mean, right now, Kyle, I got a deal for Kyle, right? I mean, he looks like a guy that ties a sweater around his neck.
He could have one for, what would Kyle Tucker's commercials be? I mean, he's kind of a
restful sleep bed, a mattress.
Oh, I could see a mattress commercial.
A mattress commercial
or maybe an Applebee's. I could see him doing like an Applebee's.
Applebee's?
Hey, this is great. Come get this awesome blossom or whatever our
version is. No one knows what it is.
Come try this. I think you're going to like it with all kinds of sauces that I really enjoy. There's barbecue. There's ranch. There's a zesty blossom. And what about this? The pineapple habanero when I'm really feeling like fire. So make sure that you tell him Kyle Tucker sent you in to eat at Applebee's and enjoy good food.
Kyle Tucker. I mean,
Kyle Tucker's
if
a
he
snooze.
Signs with the Dodgers,
he's, let's face it, this guy is a vanilla Pop-Tart. He's a snoozy boozy. I don't even like him just thinking about him going to L.A. Because you know why? Because I know he would. You're right.
He would.
Kyle Tucker's built that way.
He don't care.
He's
don't
like,
care about
probably
our
most.
He don't care about our feelings.
Actually, most Americans probably are built this way where they're like.
Not me. I'm not going to L.A.
Well.
Wait.
That's a tough. It's tough for you to say now. When is your flight back?
Saturday. Okay. Time to talk about.
Look at him. Dodger blue.
Not Dodger. It's ESPN.
Dodger blue and white.
It's ESPN.
L.A. Johnny ready to go.
It's ESPN white and blue. Time to talk about Doc Linville. I think my hair looks great today, I think. I think that. I think, and I credit it all to Doc Linville, and you'll credit yours all to Doc Linville as well. If you're looking for the best way to get hair on the top of your head, it's not. I always say it's not. It's actually moving hair. It's not replacing hair. This is not hair replacement. Okay, you're moving your hair from the side and the back to the top. That's hair movement day. You know, there's moving day in on Saturdays and on the PGA Tour. It's moving day for your hair, okay? Moving day means let's get it up top where it belongs. You know, all of these guys, they got these on the sides, you know, in the back. There's all, you know, all this hair. It just accumulates there, but it leaves the top. Well, go back. Go back where you belong, okay, at the top of somebody's head. And if you're somebody that, listen, you could be in your 20s, you could be in your 30s, you're in your 40s, and you're losing hair, bad, bad move. Don't let it, and then just go, oh, you know what, I'm just going to let it. No, do something about it. You don't want to be bald for the rest of your life. Let's go. Just get to 975hair.com and let Doc take over from there. He's awesome. You'll love the process. 975hair.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dave wants to get in here and talk about this Pete Rose thing. We got one person that came in and said
Pete Rose
sucks.
One person is a good person.
Well, yeah, but this person said Pete Rose sucks. I don't know. He said... Bleep Pete Rose. What did Pete Rose do to Raheel? I forget. I think he... I don't know what he did.
Did Pete Rose talk to him?
It wasn't simply that. Raheel was doing the show with you, and Pete Rose called him your assistant.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. I forgot about that. He was kind of...
I could see that.
He just sat there because he doesn't know anything about baseball.
And Pete said, I forgot how he got to Raheel.
It felt derogatory.
That was my favorite.
But it wasn't good when he said it.
That was fun. That was good. I thought it was great.
You and your little assistant over there. Yeah. Oh, Pete.
Let's get Dave in here. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I think it's horrible, honestly, to ban the man for life. Listen, we get it. He was betting on baseball. For Brian Sandy, he wasn't betting against his team. He's actually trying to win. And to wait till I die, less than a year after I die, then you say, oh, okay, now you can go to the Hall of Fame. And I wouldn't even go if I was his family. Or if I did, I would cuss out everyone at the damn thing. I just think it's horrible. If you're going to stick with him being dead, well, don't all of a sudden, okay, is he dead? Is he dead? Okay, we can go do the ceremony. It's crazy. And that's my take. I know you guys may have a different take, but that's my take. All right.
I think it gets to – so – you're saying this is the rules, so I'm not always the best dad at enforcing my punishments, because it takes some discipline just to be able to enforce your punishment, to follow through. I think baseball was saying, look, you guys all know this rule. Like, this isn't something where Pete was surprised. It kind of gets to the point where you say, all right, if you know this is the rules and you break the rules, are you just saying there shouldn't be rules? Are you, if they tell you this is what the rule is and this is what the punishment is and we mean it? Well, there's no surprises. Pete Rose knew what the rule was, and it gets to an accountability thing. And if you think, well, it's just not fair, I just don't think you should be punished that long. But you knew that was the game. Like, they didn't just hit you with it after the fact. They knew what the game was.
No, everybody knows the rule. Everybody knows the rule.
And baseball is very – and the rule's in place because of literally a World Series was considered a sham in the 20s, right? Because – a team, the White Sox, decided that they were going to throw the World Series. 1919, yeah. That's right. They were going to throw the World Series. That's why this is all in place. Yeah. They want to make sure that no one thinks. You know, and some of it, you think about this too. Remember, boxing and baseball came up at the same. They were both the two biggest sports in U.S. history. And boxing has had shenanigans forever with scoring and with cheating, taking the pads out of gloves, put Aaron Pryor with the stuff in his drink. Like, boxing has had a lot of shenanigans over the years. And baseball, I think, just basically wanted to avoid any indiscretion. So now, I get what you're saying, Dave, that I'd be pissed if I was a family. I would be pissed too, but I'd rather be pissed and have the memory of my dad enshrined forever in the baseball hall. Like, I would, my guess is the family would be, I don't even know. I don't even know if Pete was. He was a surly guy. I don't even know if he's on good terms with his family.
I saw a doc on him. I think he is. I think he's okay. I think he's got a. I think he is okay with his family. If I remember correctly, I forget. I think he's a fascinating guy. There's a relatively new doc out on him about Charlie. It's called Charlie Hustle, I think, and it's pretty good. And talks about. I think Pete is okay with his family. Hey, listen.
Did you watch that doc?
I did.
After the Celtics doc that Bill Simmons did, another Celtics doc, did you watch that one?
I did not watch that one.
You probably should watch it because Bill Simmons did a documentary about the Celtics. I don't know if you know that or not. But
I did not.
You know, a documentary about a team that played last year. Yeah. You know, the history of one year.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Did the cameras follow him around behind the scenes and all that?
I don't know. I don't care. Bill Simmons and the... Okay. Celtics.
Well,
who
Bill
cares?
Simmons predicted that the Mavs would get the pick. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, he tweeted something because he has his conspiracy Bill character. But are you talking about that HBO Max Celtics City?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a doc about the history of the Celtics and their rise to whatever. It's just crap for Boston people who care about the Celtics.
Yeah.
Who's looking for a Celtics doc? Yeah. Who's looking for it?
Well,
Celtics, I mean,
Celtics fans.
You sell it to all Celtics fans.
Yeah, great.
On HBO Max, that's a major platform. And he's like, oh, this is something. No, this is something everyone needs to see. History of the Celtics. No, we don't care, Bill.
No one cares.
Right. We don't care.
Yeah.
We've done this. We know you have a great history. Whatever. Stop. Get another Pete Rose doc out there.
Well, Pete, it was pretty good, actually. I watched it a couple months ago. And then Pete died, and now he's going to the Hall of Fame. Now, I think his family will be, you know, I think their regret will be Pete wasn't alive to see it. Pete wasn't alive to see him get into the Hall of Fame.
That's what Dave's talking about.
But that was his punishment.
Yeah, and that's what Dave's talking about. And I get it. I mean, But I'm just trying to be like I'm trying to be consistent. If you know that's the punishment, it's that enforcing what you say you're going to be enforce, and like this is the accountability. Okay, we'll back it off. Yeah, you're right. We're not really going to do
what's
that.
The,
no, they want to do that.
What's the argument for Pete? He for people who wanted him in while he was alive. He suffered enough, or wasn't that bad? Which one were they leaning into for the most part?
Suffered enough.
Okay,
suffered enough. After a certain amount of time, and you understand that, you say, "Look, how can you have a Hall of Fame without having the guy with the most hits ever, who played at a high level forever? Like, how can you? It doesn't make sense. You can't have. That's like having a Hall of Fame without Wilt Chamberlain in basketball, or without maybe not Wilt, but like Wilt. That's fine. Yeah. Actually, Wilt didn't have a ton of titles. It's like having an NFL, without Dan Marino in, because he was accused of doing coke in high school. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And Wilt did too. But so yeah, that was the argument: is he suffered enough after a certain amount of time? You just thought, okay, it's been 20 years, let Pete in. And that's what Dave is saying. That's what Dave is saying. And I get it. I mean, I totally get it. I'm just saying, I get what baseball doesn't want anyone to think that they have an out clause. Because once you do it for one player, you no longer have the ban for life thing. That's done. You're now saying for 20 years you're banned. Instead, this hits hard. Like Pete Rose, just so you know, if you get caught doing this, you will never get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
for some players they won't care.
But now
you know how much money we make in
this
sport.
This ruling though tells guys, listen, I'll get in if I'm great. I'll get in after I die. Okay.
What about this argument? What about because the argument's made about Jose Altuve and the and that gets to the sanctity of the game,
right?
Because they use Altuve as the face, right? We already know that. What do you think about guys who are steroid heads? That you mean to tell me that didn't jerk with the sanctity of the game? Guys who are able to hit 50 home runs in a season that never could have done it before. Like, I would argue that some of the cheating in baseball and the drug use in baseball was, ended up being having a much more substantial. Pete Rose's stuff didn't actually end up doing anything to baseball. It's the thought of what it could have done had he bet against his own team and goofed with his own lineups and things like that just to catch losses. But why isn't the drug scandal looked at?
I don't know.
The same way that Pete Rose got looked at, why not drug scandal?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, because
of their own ad campaign, chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah, yep. It's because they were complicit. They knew and they backed off of it.
Yeah,
and let's be honest, they backed off of. They wouldn't. The Astros would have never gotten messed with if Mike Fiers didn't tell.
The media.
Mike Fiers made them have to do something.
The media was wrong about it, and then and actually would not. And then all of a sudden it exploded and became the whole game. And they had to put it on the back burner. They couldn't make it as big as it actually was and how it did change the game. Doug Glanville was on here. He was a center fielder. He couldn't play in the game anymore. He lost his job because he couldn't hit home runs. He didn't want to do steroids, and he couldn't hit home runs. So a really good center fielder. He said, the cheating scandal was way worse with the steroids. It changed the game way more than the Astros did. But no, they don't want to.
It was already in place. Like, the steroid scandal was in place too, but it's for years and years and years, and baseball just turned a blind eye because they benefited.
Yep.
And, frankly, they weren't going to say anything. I mean, there was the article that came out where Rob Manfred supposedly told everyone, hey, cut the crap. We know you guys are cheating. Cut it out. What 2016 between the Yankees and the Red Sox? He goes, "Hey, enough! Cut the crap, okay? They just didn't
they
want it
open
to get out.
Letter.
They wouldn't look. I know they wouldn't open. Never has been unsealed, even though it was ordered to be unsealed. It was never unsealed, and they were going to let the Astros keep doing it too, or not keep doing it. But they didn't want to have to hurt their own sport, a team that was successful in their own sport. But Mike Fiers made them."
Yep.
By going to the Athletic. And Athletic, it's your fault for writing about it. You should have just buried that. Just buried the truth.
You ruined an entire generation.
No journalism here.
Yeah.
Bury the truth.
All right, you know what?
Towels Hill wouldn't have written
you
about
should
it.
If you get a ring for going to the Hall of Fame, where should you get it?
You should get it at Zadig Jewelers.
Thank you.
Zadig Jewelers had a Texans ring, or Texans watch that they did that was awesome. And it was one of just a few watches that were made. And it was really, really cool. Man, it was an awesome watch. You know, they do things like there are providers that are going to that have exclusive pieces, whether it be watches, exclusive rings, necklaces, earrings. They have exclusive pieces there at Zadig Jewelers because they're a boutique location for many of the top providers out there. Mikimoto, for those who really love jewelry, Mikimoto's a huge name. If you love watches, you've got the Hublot, you've got obviously Rolex is an easy one, but they've got watches from around the world that are of the highest quality, and you catch a history lesson if you really want to go in there and ask questions of their experts, because they know and they tell you the history of what it is that you're looking at and looking for, if that's what you like. And it is incredible to find out exactly what it is that you have a chance to purchase. Buy, sell, or trade when it comes to luxury watches. And if you're looking to get a special gift for her, make sure that you look at their earrings, their diamond necklaces, watches, bracelets. They've got something that will make her very, very happy. It's Zadig Jewelers, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, Zadig.com.